Welcome to the Walford Way.
Hello.
And this is our very first episode.
Hello.
I am Deborah.
I'm Jamal.
And welcome.
I'm husband, she's wife.
It's like, it's so weird to say our actual names because we only talk to each other as babe. So that's what that awkward pause was about.
I think this is like the first time in 2 years, almost 3 years now you've said my name.
Yeah, it's a bit of a stretch, but yeah.
I mean, you say it like once a month, maybe at best. It's because you're upset or I'm
around other people.
Or,
like if I'm referring to someone to you about whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. So, babe, which is what I'll be calling you for the rest of the episode.
No, you can't do that. They're going to just...
Babe, you see what I mean? Like, it's reflex. I can't say Jamal.
We should just add, like, you know what we should do? Every time you say babe, we should, like, bleep it, but instead it's just say Jamal.
Yeah, we need, like, a button.
Yeah.
But a sound bite of our names.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so let's talk about what this is. What is the Walford Way?
That is a good question because, you know, when we wrote it down, I don't remember what we said it was. This is like a more family friendly, like food for thought type deal. I remember saying that.
Yeah, because we both enjoy doing podcasts. It's you much longer than me. Well, technically, no. When I was younger, me and my brother used to do these radio shows where we're literally talking to ourselves and using fake accents and crap. And at the time, podcasting wasn't really a thing yet.
No.
It was radio shows, we would call it.
Yeah.
So it's been something I've enjoyed doing for a long time. I recently had one with a friend that got dissolved. And even before that, though, we were always saying we should do a podcast together because you used to have one also with your friends, and you still have another one with your friends.
Yeah.
So it's like it's a great hobby. It's something we both enjoy doing, and as a couple, you know,
it only felt right because I mean, like you were saying, like I've been a part of so many podcasts. It's almost like I was doing what I was doing. Old Man Games, which is currently on YouTube. I was doing Couple Knuckles, which is sort of dissolved right now. We haven't made content in forever. And now I'm with G3 Evolution. You can go subscribe on YouTube. Yeah, cheap plugs. But, yeah, so, like, I'm a part of three different groups, all of them gaming-oriented of some shape or form. And then, like, I just remember, what was it? We were at Anime North, and I was recording a podcast. And I was just thinking to myself, like, how cool would it be to do a podcast with you?
Yeah.
And we weren't even married yet.
Yeah.
Good times. Good times.
Yeah. And we are married, if we didn't say that. You did say husband and wife, didn't you? Yeah,
yeah, he did. I did.
But, so that's really what birthed the Walford Way. And we're just looking forward to having fun with each other, having fun with you guys, the listeners, and hopefully sprinkling a little inspiration on your day. So that's who we are. We are a young-ish couple. I don't want to give too much details about our like personal lives. And I'm going to say that I am not one of those people who... I'm not one of those people who, like, because I'm on social media, I put my whole self out there, and I'm not bashing people that do. I'm just saying it's not me. I'm naturally a very private person. I have very few friends that I share with, but at the same time, I do feel like, you know, for this podcast, still we can have something to offer without putting our whole selves out there, because there's lots of people already doing that. There's lots of podcasts, lots of YouTube channels and Instagram channels of couples bearing it all, you know. They're showing videos in their house and their kids, and
no, that's not happening.
That's not gonna be what this is. It's just gonna be, you know, two people, we love each other, and we want to share some reality about life.
At least with our reality. Yeah. Our version of reality.
Our reality, exactly, right?
Yeah.
But what we will say, we've been married almost 3 years now. We've been together almost three years. Almost married for two.
Yeah.
We have a son. He's six. And yeah, that's our life right now. I'm a teacher. Jamal is dad.
I'm dad right now.
Right now. And we're just trying to figure it out. We're trying to figure out life. And Jamal is also, as he mentioned before, a gamer.
A heavy gamer.
Professionally at one point, and now it's more just like a super hobby that he's just really, really good at.
That irritates my wife when she tells me to go to my bed.
Yeah. We'll talk about that one day. But I still support him 100% because I believe that you should support your spouse in things that they like to do, as long as it's not hacking people up in basements or anything like that.
You don't know if I do that.
Yeah, I do. but yeah, you know, so that's what this is.
You know, it's just interesting that you bring up my hobby, and I don't, you know, your hobbies is reading and writing, and you don't do much of any of those things.
I don't have time.
I always find time. I feel like finding time, that's a good thing, way to start this. Finding time, because, I mean, like you said earlier, you're a teacher, you're always busy marking and doing other things, right? And I'm just dad, so, like, I have ample time on my hands to do the things I want to do.
I wouldn't say just that. It's a big job.
Well, yeah. Yeah, granted it is. Like, I have to cook, clean, and all that stuff, and take him to school, pick him up, make sure I don't forget. But I mean that, like, when I was working where I was, which was the worst warehouse I cannot name, I still found time to do all those things that I enjoyed doing. And I feel like that's very important, because I would wake up in the morning, and obviously being a dad, you have to make sure your kid eats and brushes his teeth and all that stuff. So I had all that great stuff, cooking breakfast and whatnot. And then I would drop him off, and I would find time to play a little bit of video games and take a nap. And then wake up, go to work, come back, spend time with my wife as much as I can, even though she was already in bed by the time I got home. And you would be in bed by the time I got home. And it was just like, man, we didn't really have a lot of time to spend together per se, and I felt like we needed to find a way to fix that, but with our schedules it was so super conflicting.
Yeah, for sure. And we talk about this all the time. It's been deemed scientific at this point, the woman's brain and the man's brain, in the sense that you can zone out and game. Like, if that's what you want to do, that's what you're doing.
At the same time, I get distracted very easily.
which makes sense, because you focus on one thing, so the minute your focus switches to something else, you have to focus on that other one thing.
Yeah.
But for me, it's not like that. I can't turn any of my thoughts off. Everything is going at once. Like, right now, we're doing this podcast. I'm thinking, tomorrow's Monday, I have marking to do, I don't want to do it, I have papers to shred, oh my God, what am I going to cook for dinner? That's what's in my head right now. The laundry is going upstairs, is it done yet? Like, my brain does that all the time.
Yeah.
So when it comes to writing, which I love to do, I've been doing ever since I was 7-8 years old.
And you wrote some good stuff, even the story that you should be writing now.
Yeah, exactly. But like, I can't, because writing requires focus.
Yeah.
And you know, when I was younger, I didn't have that much to stress about. So if I wanted to write, I go sit in my window seat at home, which was like my go-to writing spot, and I would write. Mm-hmm. Now I don't have that. I can't do that. It's different. But that is related to our question of the day, because we're talking about New Year's resolutions. Like, do you put stock in New Year's resolutions? That's our question. And later on, we'll share with you how to give us your feedback on that, so we can talk about it next time. But yeah, babe, what are your thoughts on New Year's resolutions?
It's overrated. It's overrated. I'd never believed it in the beginning, because it's like, it's something that you have to, why do you have to wait for the new year to kick in for you to make your life better? in some shape or form, whether it's getting healthy or are getting better in a financial spot or what, you should just get up and do that, in my opinion. That you shouldn't wait for a new year to come around and then it's just like, okay, I'm going to go change my life. I sound like the Eververse commercials. You remember those?
Yeah.
Well, get up and go change your life now.
The what? What did you call it?
The Eververse? The what?
Everest.
Everest. I'm thinking...
Eververse sounds like a video game that I would love to play.
No, it's from Destiny. She's a stupid microtransaction. I hope she dies in Destiny 3. Eververse, sorry.
Everest.
Everest. Jesus. Every time I think of it, I should say Trios or something. But yeah, so like those private colleges, and they always tell you to get up and move your life ahead. But yeah, I just always felt like New Year's resolutions were a little overrated. Granted that, I mean, in the beginning of a New Year's cycle, you want to sit there and tell yourself, you know, you're going to do better this year. You want different things for this year. There's nothing wrong with setting goals. I just don't believe in this, like, it's almost like a religious tradition at this point that, like, every year someone's going to have a New Year's... Like, everyone looks forward to making a New Year's resolution.
Mm-hmm.
And then what ticks me off about it is they follow it for maybe, like, a week or two. And, I mean, like, I'm human. It happened to me, too. When I was younger, I would always say, you know, I'm going to make this New Year's resolution and I will stop eating crap. I still eat crap today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm a lot better... Thanks to Deb, my wife, because God knows. But I don't feel like this New Year's resolution thing works. I just feel like it's just something to make you feel better in the moment and then for you to seek approval from everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, like we were saying earlier in the podcast, everyone has their life out there on social media. I only own Facebook, and even then, I don't want it,
mm-hmm.
but I use it because it's the best way for most of my friends to keep in touch, because I don't answer my phone, and I'm always on my games when I have free time. So that's where that's the other place they find me. So, I mean, as soon as the New Year's kicks around, my New Year's resolution is so-and-so, and I'm going to do it week one, week two, week three. And I just feel like it's a way for people to just like, oh man, look at her or look at him. He's really going hard. And they just want that approval from other people. Mm-hmm. And it's just like the only person you should want the approval from is just yourself. At best, your spouse and your children and stuff like that. Those are important. But people on the outside you speak to maybe once in a blue moon or maybe even never, but they're on those social media accounts. What do you have to prove to these people, and what do they have to prove to you? Nothing.
Yeah.
Because their opinion does not matter. Whether or not you made this resolution to better yourself and to show people you're bettering yourself, it doesn't matter to them. It only matters to you. So just worry about you is my opinion on it. And that's why I feel like the New Year's resolution thing is overrated, because most people, I actually know people who physically wait until the new year starts to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time period, so let's say December till January, I'm looking at my friend saying, brother, you need to clean yourself up, man. Come on, like let's figure something out for you. Let's get you going. Let's get you motivated.
Mm-hmm.
New Year's coming, don't worry, I got plenty of time to do that. And that's not the right attitude to have, and that's why I feel like New Year's resolutions are overrated.
Yeah, so for me, similar thoughts in the sense that when I was younger, yeah, I would be writing stuff down and my goals and plans and step this and step that and taking before pictures. 'Cause my main thing was about losing weight and being skinny and being pretty or beautiful, whatever the word we want to use there. My best friend, Nicolette, she also has a website, The Grown Up Millennial, and her and I, we're very similar. We've had similar upbringing in many ways. So I find myself, we echo each other a lot. Even in this, because I told her the podcast that we're doing right now, we were going to release it on the first Monday in January.
Yeah.
And then she also released her thing the first Monday in January. And it was so funny because I was saying to her, like, why are you always in my head? But anyway, back to the point. She also had that, we always had that thing. Losing weight was a goal. I've been wanting to lose, I believe at the first point, it was 15 or 20 pounds from, like, I was a teenager. That was always a goal I had at the beginning of every year. As soon as I hit maybe 15-ish. And again, I swear I'm not copying her or anything, but if you listen to her podcast, you'll know why it sounds like I'm copying her, but I'm not. But it's a very similar experience we had, because I remember this guy when we were going to high school. I wasn't dating him. He was just this random guy that we were all friends at the same high school, the male counterpart to my all-girls school. And he said to me, "You're so pretty. Don't gain any more weight." I also had friends that I went to a summer camp, and that was the last time I went to summer camp, because they said to me, "You look good, don't gain any more weight." And that stuck with me, and I started becoming very, very self-conscious about my weight. And again, I was like 14 years old. You're going through puberty, you're gonna gain and lose weight rapidly, it's normal. But those, to this day, like, it's still, you know, fresh in my head. So every January 1, that would be my thing. I'm going to work out. We didn't have no gym to go to. So I would go walking in the early mornings with my mom and some of her friends, and we'd work out on a hill and run back down the hill.
You might want to provide context why you had no gym sort of thing.
Okay, well, we didn't I grew up in Jamaica, not to say that Jamaica does not have gyms. But
because like it's they're just, probably like, don't you live in Canada or something?
Yeah, it's just not typical for teenagers to go to the gym in Jamaica. I'm just gonna say that we work out outside. You run around, you play football or you play a sport, because if you live in a country where it's always warm and it's always, you know, favorable weather, you don't spend a lot of time.
I wouldn't go to a gym
inside.
In
exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's just cultural things. Not to say that people don't go to the gym there. I'm just saying. Yeah, so that was it. And then after a while, that became my life. I always put things off. I always say, okay, I'm going to do it the first of the month. Because that felt like the norm. It felt like because we put so much stock in New Year's resolutions, everything has to start like that. There are memes about it out there. We're going to go to the, we're going to work out at 7. Then it's 7:01. We're going to work out at 8. And it's like, you know, it never happens. So for me, it's good to have goals. It's bad to tie them to a season, because it
makes no sense.
It programs your body to approach important things like that, depending on your type of personality. And for me, I am a procrastinator and it's very bad.
I would say that for myself.
I feel like I'm worse than you, though. I feel like if you want to do something, you
no. If I wanted to do it, I'll do it. Yeah.
But for me, nah. Like, it has to be the world is about to burn if you don't get up and go do this right now.
Yeah.
And that's been my approach. So I feel like New Year's resolutions enable procrastination for me.
Yeah.
But I believe that for people who have a personality that it works with, then they should do it. If it helps you. If you're like, yeah, I'm going to do it January 1, and January 1, you go. I have friends like that. I have a friend who, she's older than I am. She had health issues, and she said, you know what? I'm going to stop eating meat. I'm going to go on a diet, but not just a diet, a lifestyle change. So I'm changing her diet forever. And she did. And she set a date. She went fast. She does intermittent fasting now. She started going to the gym again.
Yeah.
She's making shakes. And she committed to it months now. She lost a lot of weight. She's doing good. And it works for her in that way. But I know for me, if someone doesn't physically pull me up from the chair, we're going to the gym right now, I'm not going.
And I mean, by no means will I go out and say on this podcast that having a New Year's resolution is the absolute wrong thing and you shouldn't be doing it. If it works for you, it works for you.
Yeah.
Don't take it. Don't take our opinion as like biblical commandments. You know what I mean? Like, these are things that you should and should not do. It's just our opinion.
Yeah. So that's my take on it. And I feel like they're good for the right people, but they're not for everyone. Because like you said, there are people who will put their life on hold till January 1. That's ridiculous. Because if you think about 24 hours in a day, minimum 6 of those are sleeping. That's 18 hours per day, per week, whatever time you have thrown away waiting for a day. You're not. That's not owed to you. You could die December 29. Then what?
And then you never reach those
right
goals,
or 31. And you know how many people didn't live to see this year? And you don't know all the things they could have done differently if they had a different approach instead of waiting for a brand new year, new me kind of thing. So that's what I think. But yeah.
Yeah, that's all I have to say about that for sure.
Yeah. And then in terms of finding time, just to tie it all up, one of the keys about setting a resolution is making sure you have the time to do it. And a perspective I've been gaining over the years of my life is like, we take a lot of things in life for granted and we feel like we're entitled to things. Even that saying, taking it for granted, people don't understand what that means. When you take something for granted, you are taking it as you deserve it. Like it's gonna happen because you want it to happen, right? So, for example, in some countries, their New Year starts in April and March. What about those people? In Ethiopia, they're several years behind because their year has 13 months instead of 12. So we have this, we as in human beings, predominantly in the so-called Western culture, have this one-track mind of looking at things where it's like, well, I grew up like this and that's just the norm and everybody else is weird.
So pretty much the North American way is what you're saying.
Not only North America. That's why I kind of said Western. Because it does involve some parts of Europe too. And everybody can fall trapped to it. And just a side note, I don't even believe in West or East because the world is a circle. But I'm not going to go into my conspiracy theories. But, you know, the accepted Western world then. You know, you believe that, well, everybody celebrates the New Year in January 1, so everybody should set a goal for this. And every, like, that way of thinking is a problem for me because it comes back to taking things for granted. So find the time, make the time is the right thing.
For sure.
You control your 24 hours unless you're a baby and your life is dictated by your caregivers. If you're an adult or even a teenager, you control your time for the most part.
You really
find
do.
It. And I'm giving my own self that advice because it's hard to do when you're programmed to saying, okay, it has to be January 1. No, you decide that 6:32 p.m. on April 17, you're going to get up and jog. And that's just what it's going to be, right? So that's it. So, yeah, that's our spiel on New Year's resolutions. And again, let us know what you think, what you agree with, what you disagree with, you know, in comments and such that we're going to share with you the link later on.
Indeed. What else do we have?
Okay, so our main topic for the day, we want to talk about celebrating with family. Because
this is a hard one.
The thing we were talking and we were talking about, you know, the whole New Year's thing and Christmas, and which we celebrate, by the way, and so on. And we had a little, not an argument, but just a little conversation.
Debate.
We're like, next year, Jamal's family wants us to go spend Christmas with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm not sure I want to do that because for one thing, we currently don't have our own place, right? So we live with my parents.
Yeah.
And it's like, by default, we spend Christmas with them because we live with them.
Yeah.
So to, and I've, think about it this way. I've lived with my parents my whole life. We got married. No, you're a part of that. It's awkward for me to change that. But again, it's not fair to you because just like me, you've lived with your family,
yeah,
right? Your whole life. And so we were kind of talking about that and like, what's the best approach? Like, how do you divide the holidays with family?
It's an interesting and very touchy subject, because the main thing was the reason why it even came up, because I mean, last year we did spend Christmas here with your family, all of it, and then we went New Year's to my mom's. And you know, a lot of the times, like, I mean, you're gonna get it from just about anywhere in your family if you don't spend enough time with them, because most of my time is spent here with my son and my wife, for obvious reasons. I don't really go out as much to go see my family, but it just mostly like, oh, you've always spent Christmas here, this is your family, and it you're always gonna get that, and there's no way you can control it. It's just trying to find a good balance of it. Mm-hmm. And that's why I said, you know, next year Christmas, maybe we should go by my family, because they love to have me there and they love to see us. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And for my mom personally, like, she obviously wants to wake up Christmas morning knowing that I'm gonna be there later on that day. Mm-hmm. You know, I shouldn't make time. It was just the year before when we went, the weather was just terrible. It was a nightmare. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to do that again. And then I had the flu this year, so it just didn't make sense for me to go anywhere. But I just feel like the dynamic of it all is just like, it's very important to have good relations with both sides of your family, in-law and your actual family, and to make that effort to go out of your way to see your in-laws or to be with your current family is very important, because it only shows that we're all united in this. Mm-hmm. We are all one family, and there's no sense of divide when it comes down to, okay, I'm going to spend time with Deborah's family, and then my family looks at it like, I guess he doesn't want to see us anymore, type of deal, right? Mm-hmm. Or it doesn't look like, well, I guess he can't spend Christmas with us because he lives there and she's in control of whatever the case may be. And it just creates a bad taste in everybody's mouth about it.
Yeah, and and that's the thing, because it's hard in the sense of, for one, logistic-wise, they don't live 5 minutes away. No, they live at least 20, 25 minutes away, which is not...
It's not terrible.
To me, it's not far, but when it's Christmas and it's cold, worse if it's snowing, the last thing I want to do is leave the house. And then we have to pack up. We don't currently drive. We have to rely on someone to get a ride to get there. We have to pack up all our stuff to get there. And then you're going to, it's familiar for you because it's your used to be home. For me, it's not. And there's all of these dynamics to it. And then, you know, there's also going to be other extended family there.
Yeah.
And you don't get along the same with everyone in the extended side. And it's so much to think about. And then it comes down to it, like, what is the point? Like, what are we sacrificing to do this? Yes, we want to see them. And of course, we will always want to see them. I love his family. I love his mom. I love his grandmother, everybody. They treat us well. They treat our son well. You know, there's no bad blood. But it's the practical side of it, too. And lots of people struggle with this. Like, even the side of it where you're a separated family, so you have kids but you're separated as a couple, and the kids have to now be split between going to different families' houses on Christmas Day. It's kind of like that, but it's not as extreme as that. And it comes down to, what are your values on Christmas Day? What is it that you want to impart to your family? Is it the message that the holidays is a time for us all to come together? Or is it a message that, you know, well, we have to do this because it dictates that this is what Christmas is all about? You know what I mean? It's all of these thoughts that come up around sharing time with family that just makes it such a difficult thing to figure out.
And family is a very, like, vague word to me sometimes, because a lot of people confuse family with who you're related to.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's not really so much the case. Like, yes, I'm close to my mother, my father, my brother, and whoever, right? And my grandmother and whatnot. And I loved seeing them. But, I mean, as far as, like, core family goes, those are my family. I wouldn't want to trade them for anything. But I also have a small circle of friends that I consider family, like, mm-hmm. just as much as my grandmother and these people that I call family. And so I don't feel like it necessarily has to tie into it being who you're related to, but just people who genuinely care about you, elevate you, and want to spend holiday seasons with you mm-hmm. and share good memories. You know what I mean? And it's not, and it could be something as simple as just going to a bar and having a beer, or just sitting around the house watching TV, laughing, talking about all the accomplishments and the failures and things that you had for that year. Whatever the case may be, whatever gets you guys going, that's what's important, at least to me, because my dad said something important, interesting to me the other day when I met him. He was saying how he never imparted family values after my parents split and had the divorce, because like you were saying earlier, I had to do the two Christmases, one at my dad's, one at my mom's. And, you know, it was harder for my dad because he would only get us maybe like 2 days, 3 days the week after Christmas. So it's not even like a traditional Christmas day. Mm-hmm. Where my mom, she got all of the events like Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, Easter. She would get all of those because that's where I was living, and I didn't have a whole lot of control of how that worked, that dynamic worked. I was still a kid. And even now, it's still hard for me to say, okay, mom, I'm going to go to my dad's for Christmas Day. And then, you know, you might not see me until the day or 2 days after. Mm-hmm. Because I know, like, she'll be on the phone and tell me, oh, it's okay, it's okay, you need to go spend time with your father. But I know emotionally she looks at that and she's kind of upset that she doesn't get to spend time with me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, growing up in that environment, it was hard. And as much as he said he didn't impart family values onto me, so that's why I don't get along necessarily with a lot of my family. I just don't think he knows me well enough, which is the issue, because I actually found more family values being apart from my parents than being together, is how I felt. Because I found a group of people that genuinely love and care about me and elevate who I am as a person. And then I have a beautiful wife, an amazing son, and again, elevate me, love me, take care of me. And all I want to do is take care of my family, because I've seen what happens in the separation, the damage it can cause to young children and just families as a whole. And in essence, that's why I find it very important to at least make the effort, go see the in-laws, even if it's a hassle sometimes and you really don't want to do it. It's the fact that this family really does care and love. And I'm not just speaking on mine. I'm just saying in general, it's always important to be a part of these things, because you never know when that family may not be here. You know what I mean? And you want to spend as much time as possible that you possibly can with these people that you love and care about, and in turn love and care about you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and from my perspective, I had the opposite life growing up. My parents were always together. Christmas was us all in the same house. Usually, my aunts and uncles would come to our house for Christmas. My grandparents, everybody would be at our house. So that's why, again, it comes back to this, right? Because that's what I'm used to. And not to say that I'm not going to change it, or I'm not willing to change it and make a new norm for our family. For it's sure. just my background. So I'm used to waking up in my house on Christmas Day. I'm used to opening, well, first of all, we went to church, which would piss us all off because we want to open the gifts as kids. But of course, I understand the value in that, and I'm glad that we did life that way. For people that don't go to church, no one's bashing you. I'm just saying that was my life. But yeah, we did that first. We came home. We open together as a family, and then we'd all go our separate ways and play with whatever we got, and we'd have dinner again in the afternoon.
Yeah.
That was our day. That's my norm, and that's why the idea of going from house to house is weird for me. The only time we would go anywhere else is to drop people back home, namely my grandmother, who passed away, my other grandmother, and so on, right? Or most times we would want her, she would stay with us a couple of days longer because, you know, it's just that spirit of family and holiday all together in one house.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure a lot of Caribbean families can attest to that kind of life where you're all in the same house. So here now, in this environment where we start here, we go to Jamal's people, we go to my other aunt and her family, and one year we went all the way to like
Burlington?
Not Whitby. Well, yeah, for your dad we went to Burlington. Yeah. We went all over the place. That's not normal for me, right? It's uncomfortable for me, for one, because it feels so broken. And then on top of that, again, I will always stress how much I hate the weather. Yeah. Right? I hate winter. I hate it. Hate it. Hate it.
And we live in Canada, which is
putting on all those clothes to go outside and being cold. Oh God. Anyway, I'm getting upset at the thought. But you get the point. So but I do agree, and I'm happy for other perspectives all the time. That's another reason I like doing podcasts. I like hearing other people's thoughts on things because it educates me, and I believe it uplifts me as a person, because I also get that. I get that it's so important to maintain these bonds. And if it means going out of your comfort zone to do it, then I am all for doing that, because you never know when the people you love will go. It's life. People die all the time, and you can not even just die physically, but like your grandmother, mentally, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people with dementia and stuff, they're here in body, but they're not here in mind. It's like they're not there at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's all of these things to consider. And at the end of the day, for me, the verdict really is, yes, travel if you must. Do what you don't like to do because it's worth it. If these are people that you really do love, then you should do these things for them.
For sure.
Isn't
that what Christmas and these things are about?
Yeah. And, you know? And people, again, we always have to be inclusive whenever we say anything. And I'm not saying that cynically. I'm saying it honestly. Whether you believe in Christmas or not, whatever it is, you live in a world, in a culture that does. And, whether you celebrate it as Christmas, it's still a holiday for you. Still don't go to work, whatever. So whatever you call it, the holiday season, it still has its groundings in family.
Yeah.
That's what it's for. It's not about just taking a day off from work. It's not about staying home because it's too cold to be outside or whatever. It's
as amazing as that sounds.
Yeah. It's really about reconnecting with family. And therefore it should be used for that purpose.
Exactly.
If you don't have family, which is also another sad point, find a way to connect with human beings in some shape or form. Go to an event, they have lots of community events at that time of year too. Just be around other people. It's a mental health thing too.
For sure.
Right? Because it's hard. So we're talking about having actual families, but for people that don't, for people who you either live too far away from your family, it's another difficult time, right? It doesn't mean that you're not included in family festivities. It just means that now you have to make your own family in another way.
Yeah, for sure. And it's not impossible. It's just going to be awkward.
It's just going to be hard. It's going to be hard because the world as it is right now is so individualistic in some parts of the world.
Yeah.
It's hard to find connections with actual human beings anymore, but
the internet sure did a number on that.
Yeah, but we have to try.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we did pretty good.
Yeah, so did I.
So thank you all for listening to The Walford Way, and we hope you like our first episode. And if you don't,
we hope you still comment and dislike and all that other stuff.
Yeah. I was going to say, if you don't, I don't care. But yeah, that too. So enjoy your resolutions if you made them. And if you didn't, don't feel bad that you didn't. Don't feel like you have to conform because society says you should.
We're not going to take it.
You know, it's just at the end of the day, and that's why this is called The Walford Way. It's our way of seeing things. It's our reality. Yep. It's our perspective. And if you agree with perspectives that are different from your own, it's a good way to...
I still want to hear those opinions.
To see the world. Yeah.
Enlighten me, please.
Yeah.
Give me something to read.
He hates reading. Unless it's comics.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you all. And goodbye.
Later.